Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found in the 14th chapter of the book of John. John's gospel account, chapter 14. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Once again, a pleasant good morning to you. Those in our auditorium, we have such a wonderful number here. So many smiling faces. Glad to see each and every one of you. It is truly a delight to sing along with you. And I think our singing's always good. I think it's been superb today. And glad that you are here. And those listening by Wave Radio, I want you to know we're glad that you're here as well. Though we may not see your smiling face, we're still glad that you're here. And if we could see your smiling face, we'd love to see that anytime. 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, that's the building location here at the Arlington Church of Christ. There was a preacher in a church about this size, in a town about this size. Their local newspaper every week put out a special religious flyer, and all the churches could put info they've got going on in there. And so the preacher put a notice out one time and said, "We're having a special service on Wednesday night. All are invited to come." So that Wednesday night rolls around, and it's the preacher, and the janitor shows up, and he was a hefty man weighing about 400 pounds or so, and the preacher still just preached his same old lesson, and he ran an ad in the same religious circular last week or the next week saying, "Thanks for our large, enthusiastic crowd that came out to our event." You're getting ahead of me here. And the janitor went up to the preacher and said, "You have lied to these good people. There was just you and I." The preacher said, "Yes, I'm enthusiastic and you are large." There you go. So we're glad that you're here. And we have a large, enthusiastic crowd for a completely different reason today. Glad that you're here. I've been looking forward to this lesson. It is a culmination, if you will, of a series we've been talking about. We began at the end of last month, and so for the entirety of this month, we've been talking about heaven. And we began talking about what does the Bible itself say about heaven. We gave you three reasons why I want to go to heaven. It is my home, my haven, and my hope. We answered the question, can I be happy in heaven, knowing that there will be people who didn't make it into heaven? And we answered emphatically from Scripture, yes. And last week was not an easy one to get through because you have to talk about things people don't want to hear. But it's a Bible truth, I believe, all day long. You will suffer if you miss heaven. If you don't make it into heaven, you go to any place of eternal condemnation. And we close out today with how heaven is like the Grand Canyon. How heaven is like the Grand Canyon. There's one picture on our presentation of the Grand Canyon. And it gets its name because it is grand, and it is a place that many want to go to. As we look here in our lesson text of John chapter 14, familiar, I'm sure, to most. We've actually used it a lot in our study on heaven itself, but put it in context. Jesus is encouraging those that had been following after him that he is about to leave them and to go away. Now really, he's been saying that for about 3 years. From the beginning of his earthly ministry, he said, "There's going to come a time where I'm no longer here." But when he says it in John 14, we're right up next to that point. I mean, it's almost time for him to leave them. And so he wants those that are following him to know, even though he's leaving, he's going to come back for them. And he wants to bring them where he's going. Of course, we know he's going to heaven. And we know that he is preparing. We've got that mansion just over the hilltop, as we sang just a few moments ago. We've got that place prepared for the faithful. And Jesus is going to return again and receive those who are faithful unto himself to this wonderful place called heaven. And I want us to talk about heaven today. And I want us to answer a very simple question. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? And I understand, speaking on a subject like this, very well, maybe some people here in this auditorium who have seen, or listening, who have seen the Grand Canyon with their own eyes. I have not as of yet, but I'd like to one of these days. But I still know what I'm talking about because I've done my research. So how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? I think you'll like this lesson. Number one, heaven's grand. Did you catch that? See, the Grand Canyon is big. It is beautiful. People tell me their jaws just drop once they get there and they peer out into the Grand Canyon. It is spectacular. Well, dear friends, I'm here to tell you today that heaven is big and it is beautiful and it is a spectacular place. The question then becomes, why? Go back to the book of Psalms. Psalm number 11, if you will, right there in the middle of your Bibles, the book of Psalms. Turn there with me. Psalm 11 in verse number 4, why is heaven so beautiful? Why is heaven such a spectacular place? Because that's where God lives. And any place that my God, who created the world, lives, I guarantee you is going to be a spectacular place. Notice what David says in Psalm 11 and verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. Where is that? The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, the eyelids try, the children of men. So God is pictured. He is on His throne, and His throne is up there in heaven, and He's looking down upon the affairs of men. You see, where God is a big, beautiful place. It's big, but it's beautiful. Go to the end of the Bible, almost exactly. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 18. And we're going to read some of what John saw. You know, John's writing the revelation of Jesus Christ there in exile on Patmos. The problem is that John was writing in Greek, and it's translated to you and I in English. And the problem is, I don't care what language you try to describe heaven in, it won't work. Because heaven is far better than any language can describe. But John's going to use the best known things to him and to us. Notice, the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city of gold like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city, they were garnished with all manner of precious stones. First foundation, jasper, then sapphire, chalcedony, that's also a copper-ish material. The fourth was an emerald, sardonyx was fifth, sixth, sardius, seventh, chrysolite, eighth, beryl, ninth, a topaz, chrysoprase, 11th, jacinth, 12th, amethyst. I wish I was a jeweler because I would have had pictures of all these. But you know these diamonds, these jewels, right? Maybe I read your birthstone. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. The street was of pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of sun nor moon or shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. I mean, He just keeps going on. Do you see how beautiful? The walls are just comprised of stones, precious stone upon precious stone, and the streets of gold like glass. This is the nicest thing that John's human mind could try to compare heaven to. But that makes it beautiful, because all these are stones that people want around. They go out and they seek after emeralds. That's my birthstone. You want to get these things. People buy gold. Gold wedding bands, gold, because they like the color of it. And heaven is full of spectacular beauty. You go back to the first part of that chapter. A new heaven and a new earth. John saw, verse 2, coming down out of heaven. It was as if a bride prepared for her husband. Oh, how beautiful is that bride when she enters the auditorium or the wedding venue and everybody turns around, just so pretty in that white dress. Everybody just gasps. Just gorgeous. That's how John sees heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. And the best part is God's there. That makes everything wonderful. So how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Number one, plain and simple, is it's grand. You with me? Number two, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? There is no cheap way to get across. No cheap way to get across. It's going to cost you something. Whether you want to go out there in your car, then you're going to have to drive there. and put wear and tear upon your vehicle? Are you going to rent a car when you get there or get close? That's going to cost you money. You can rent a helicopter and do a helicopter tour of the Grand Canyon, and more power to you. That's not my opinion, but that's regardless, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you money if you decide to walk it, because you're going to have to make sure you have on the right shoes and your walking stick and your right walking gear. See, there's no cheap way to get across. It can be done, but it's not going to be light on the pocketbook, as they say. Well, similarly, there's no cheap way into heaven. Do you know that? There is no cheap way into heaven. You know that passage in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 where Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders? The church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not cheap. That's God in the flesh. That is the immortal Son of God in the flesh. His blood purchased the church. Look here in this passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Notice how precious the entry fee is into heaven. Having therefore, brethren, the Hebrew writer says, boldness or confidence, if you will, or even liberty, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. What paid our admission fee into heaven, so to speak, was the blood of Jesus Christ. And that was not cheap. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 2 and 18. He says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. That's chapter 3. That's a good verse, not the one I'm looking for. Chapter 2. For through Him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, the Grand Canyon, there are many ways to traverse it, but in heaven there's just one way. And your entry fee was paid by Jesus Christ. See, we're blessed here in the state of Tennessee for many reasons. I think that's the nicest state God ever made. I've been to some of His. I think that's the nicest one. No offense if you have another favorite state. I'm preaching you're not, so there we go. But I love our state park. I love the Great Smoky Mountains. And it's free to go to. You just drive all through it you want to. It's the most visited national park. Not all of them are that way. Go see some of them. You got to pay money to the government to go see it. Well, to pay to see heaven, to be admitted in, you can't pay that price. But Jesus did. And He did with His blood. So that's how heaven is like the Grand Canyon. There's no cheap way across. Let's move on to our third comparison. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? This one's sad, though. There are many people who just want to admire the view. You know, a lot of people go to the Grand Canyons and they don't want to go, or in the Grand Canyon, they don't want to go in the Grand Canyon. They just want to see it. Once I see this big hole in the ground, I can mark that off my bucket list, go on to the next thing. I don't know, I might be of that persuasion. I don't know if I want to put the effort in to go down into it, but that's on another point here. But a lot of people will drive and fly and travel hours and days just to look at this hole in the ground. And I'm not knocking that. It's a grand hole. Do you know if you look at census polls, over 90% of people to some varying degree believe in heaven. A lot of people will tell you to some degree, now they may want to argue to what that degree is, they tell you that they believe that there is a heaven. They like the idea of there being a heaven. It's almost like they just want to go admire the view of heaven, so to speak. But unfortunately, there are so many people in this earth, on this earth, this very hour, who are not doing anything to get to go to heaven. But they'd like, given the opportunity, to at least see it. Well, then that begs the question. How do I enter heaven? Because I tell you, speaking for me, I don't want to just see heaven. I want to live there. I don't want to just go up and look at it, turn around and go back home. I want to go. Well, Jesus already paid my entry fee, but I got to do the will of the Father. Jesus says, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. For many will say to me that day, Lord, will we not prophesy in thy name, cast out many demons, done many wonderful works? I'll say, I don't know you. He that does the will of my Father shall have access. So I've got to do what the Father says. The Father said, hear Jesus. Jesus said, Matthew 18, verse 3, and except you be converted. I've got to change my wicked ways and live after him, and I must be born again. John chapter 3, 3 through 5, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. He must be born again. So I must, number one, to go to heaven, do the will of the Father, involving in that. Number two, I must be converted. And number three, then, I must be born again. Must is an imperative. You must be born again. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? There are many people who just want to go see it. Now, they may not tell you they want to go see heaven, but they're living their life, or they're not going to make it in, so they might as well just want to go see it. Number four, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? The way to the other side of the Grand Canyon, it's narrow. It's so narrow, and few people want to go. So how do you get to the other side? There are a couple of options you can do. You could walk. If you want to walk to the other side of the Grand Canyon, it's 8 to 10 miles. Experts say it's going to take you 3 days. The path is narrow. It's curvy, and it's difficult. Now, if that's your cup of tea, I guess I should have had travel brochures. I could have handed you one. I think if I win, I don't know if I'd want to walk it. So your next option is you want to drive it. Well, it's about 200 miles at a brisk pace, 4 to 5 hours. Oh, by the way, once again, the road's still narrow. It's still curvy and it's still difficult. I've been all through Cates Cove and all these places up in the Smokies, and those are nice paved roads. And there's still some of them are kind of curvy and narrow and difficult. And I'm only on those roads for a small amount of time. I don't think I'd want to do that for 4 or 5 hours. Now, that's just me. Here's your fun fact. There are people at the bottom and businesses, you know, organizations at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, and they get mail delivered by mule. Because they're not going to get a postal van down there. It's not going to work. So that's one of the few places in the country they still get mail mule delivery. That tell you how difficult it is to get there? What about the way to heaven? Go with me to Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. You know these. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Then we'll look at Luke's parallel account to that. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, beginning to conclude the Sermon on the Mount, or at least getting there, he says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight, not straight like plain, but straight as in difficult, as in narrow. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be which find it. That kind of sounds like trying to cross the Grand Canyon to me, doesn't it, you? If it's a long, narrow, winding road that not everybody wants to take. Notice how Luke puts these same words, or similar words, I should say, in Luke chapter 13, 24 and 25. Then said one unto Jesus, Lord, are there few that be saved? And Jesus said, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many people are going to try, but they're going to find the road's too narrow, it's too difficult for them, and so they're going to stop. Some just stop right where they're at, others turn around and backtrack their way out. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Number four, they both have the other side, the way to it is narrow. Let's move on. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Number five, well, both of them, you got to go to water to get to the other side. See, at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, there's a river. And so you go all the way down the Grand Canyon and you cross the river. Then guess what you got to do? You got to climb back out on the other side. Gary's giving me a look like I'm not doing that. I'm with you, Gary. If you want to do it, I'm not knocking this. Please don't take away the preacher. Go for it if that's what you want to do. But regardless, to get from one side to the other, you've got to cross water. You've got to go through the water one way or another. You see where this is going, to go to heaven? You've got to go through water as well. No man's going to enter into heaven that hasn't crossed through the water, so to speak. We've already mentioned John chapter 3:3-5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. That's verse 5 when he answers the question of Nicodemus. Can a man enter into his mother's womb again when he is old? He said, no, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. How? Well, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, call upon the name of the Lord. What do you do when you take a bath? You get water and you wash yourself, right? Well, Ananias tells Paul, then Saul, wash yourself in the waters of baptism. You put on Christ. You're buried into his death. There in Romans 6:3-4. Also Colossians 2. Galatians 3 and verse 27. You put on Christ. All these passages have the idea behind them. You got to go through the water. Go all the way down. Come all the way back up. That's what baptize means. To fully immerse. You see, to get to heaven, you got to go through water. But I will say, pardon me, once you go through that water, mentioned a moment ago, and you got to climb back out on the other side. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Because I understand, given a group such as this and getting to know the people here, primarily I'm not talking to people who need to be baptized. I'm talking to people who have gotten wet. They've been baptized for the remission of their sins. So here's where we come in. Just because you've gone through the water, dear friend, doesn't mean you are finished. Then you must complete the journey. You go through that river there at the base of the Grand Canyon. You come out of the river on the other side, yet you're still in the canyon. You can't say, well, I've crossed the whole Grand Canyon. You've got to come back out. Notice what the Hebrew writer says. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, talking about those in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run the race with patience that is set before us. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, I've got to keep going. Dear Christian friend, once you've gone through the water, once you come out, now you're now living on fire for Christ as a soldier, as a member of the royal priesthood, the peculiar generation, peculiar people, holy generation. Then you got to climb out the other side. So how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Number 5, you've got to go to water to get across. Number 6, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? If you're going to hike the Grand Canyon, you're going to need food and water. You're going to need food and water. Why? Because nourishment is essential. That's a long journey. A couple of days. You're going to need food. You're going to want to make sure you've eaten well before you go in. Probably get you some trail mix. Some other granolas, things that aren't going to perish, that will give you sustenance, give you energy. Either carry water with you or find some way to purify water. Whatever the case may be, you've got to have proper nourishment. Right now, if we all went to the Grand Canyon, I dare say, with what we have on us, we wouldn't make it the whole journey down. We don't have enough food in us, or at least I know I don't. What about this spiritually speaking? Spiritually speaking, if I want to finish the journey, I've got to have the right spiritual food. I want us to look at these here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. There at the Sermon on the Mount, notice what Jesus says in his Beatitudes, if you will. Jesus says in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they'll be filled. See, the Beatitudes follow a formula. If you do this, then you'll get that. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And that's not the idea of being filled like you've eaten lunch and then in 3 or 4 hours you're going to be hungry again for supper. This is the idea of being filled, being satisfied, and no longer hungering and thirsting. So Jesus says, I must seek after hunger and thirst, What is that? You know, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 51, I saw on a church sign one time, and I've loved it ever since. It said, without the bread of life, you're toast. It's pretty clever, isn't it? Without Jesus as the bread of life in your life, you're toast. That's it. And we learn in Revelation 22 and verse 17, the bride, the Spirit say, come, let him drink of the everlasting waters of life. You know, we sing a song, there's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. A fount of love from the source above. And he bids us all freely drink. Will you come? We often sing that by way of invitation. See, if I want to hike the Grand Canyon, I better have food and water. And if I want to make this spiritual hike as a Christian, I need the bread of life. And I need water of life as well, which only come through Christ. So that's how heaven is like the Grand Canyon. Lastly, number 7. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? I've got to pass through the valley to get to the other side. I must pass through the valley. I don't know if you knew this or not before we got into our lesson, but the Grand Canyon is not just one valley. It's actually a series of valleys that get deeper and deeper, and they all fluctuate. There's not just one valley you got to climb. And if you really want to hike it, you're going to kind of go up and down as you go down all the way to the very bottom and come back out. It is a series of valleys. Our life is the same, is it not? Sometimes we're having a good day and we're up on top of the hill. And then a few days later, it seems like we're in the bottom of a valley. I got 3 passages I want us to look at, and the lesson will wrap it up. Our first one is in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 7, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, notice what Peter says. We're going to have a valley of trials. You and I are going to face trials in this life. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, hear me out. Your faith is going to be tested. My faith is going to be tested on a daily basis. And I've got to go through these valleys, always knowing that if I'm down in the middle of it, I can climb back out of it. Number 1, there's a valley of trial. Number 2, go to James, back just a few pages from where we were. James chapter 1, verse number 12. Valley of temptation. Not only am I going to go through trials, I'm going to be tempted to do things that I know I shouldn't do, that God doesn't want any of his children to do. Notice James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, a continual action of enduring temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So I've got valley of trials, valley of temptation. And I'm going to face the valley of death one day. You remember that passage, that beautiful Psalm 23, where he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How many times, dear friend, have we been walking in that valley of the shadow of death? Maybe we've lost a loved one, and the shepherd is there to comfort us, give us strength through that difficult, trying time. Maybe we faced the shadow of the valley of death. Maybe we've had some health issues and we've been closer to meeting the Lord than maybe we are now. We've had those scares. And the Lord, the shepherd, is there. See, to pass through the Grand Canyon, you've got to go through the valley. And unfortunately, if you go to the Grand Canyon, the only thing on the other side is more Grand Canyon. But in life, if you pass through the valley, heaven's on the other side, which makes it surely worth it. Heaven will surely be worth it all. How beautiful heaven must be. So how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Number 1, it's grand. Number 2, there's no cheap way to get across. Number 3, there's many people who just want to see the view. Number 4, the way across is narrow and few go there. Number 5, you must go to water to get to the other side. Number 6, to hike, you must have food and water. And number 7, you must pass through the valley. That's pretty convincing to me. What about you? I think heaven's kind of like the Grand Canyon. And even better. Have you been to the Grand Canyon? I haven't. But I want to one of these days. I really do. I think it'd be fun. I know no one in this building's been to heaven yet, but you know what? I want to go there one of these days too. And not only am I planning to eventually make it to the Grand Canyon, I'm planning to make it to heaven. You know, to plan to go to the Grand Canyon, you got to plan when you want to go. You got to save up. You got to pack. Well, same spiritually speaking, right? When do I want to go? When he's ready for me to go to heaven. But I must make sure I'm ready when he comes. He's going to come pick me up one day, or I'm going to take my last breath, either one. I must make sure I'm ready. Dear friend, if you're not ready, you're not ready to see heaven, you need to be. If you're not, you need to become a Christian. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, going in that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. Why not do that this very hour? Dear Christian friend, we encourage you to hike through to the other side and remain faithful. And if you haven't been faithful, need to repent of sins, we're here for that. We'd love to assist you in that avenue as well. If we can help you in any way at all, whatever that need may be, we humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.